And you know I don't watch that shit.
Why not? Too scared?
No. No, it's just, what's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act, who's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
What are you waiting for, huh?
Because nobody admits anything they've done!
Boils, ghouls, non-binary creatures of the darkness. We are back with another episode of the Scream Queens. I'm Cece, and unfortunately Jess is not here today with me, but that is okay. I dug deep into my connections and I found somebody who is just as big of a fan of what we're covering today as I am. Welcome today. This is not his first time on the show, but it is his first time with just one other person. Being me, I have Kyle from the Trick or Treaters podcast here today. Hey, Kyle.
Hello. Well, I appreciate you bringing me on for this episode. I'm a massive fan of this movie.
Yes, I'm very excited because I know you were excited to listen to this episode, and I was like, hey, why don't you just come on to the episode? Like, all right. So we're going to be covering Repo: The Genetic Opera today, but before we go into that, I just wanted to do something different this week. So instead of going over news, I figured we could talk a little bit about something we've been watching lately or something horror related, maybe a game or a movie or a show, anything that we've been doing lately that, you know, has been horror related or exciting for us. And I'll let Kyle take it away first. If you've got some ideas on something you want to talk about.
Recently I've just been going through my list. I have like a whole list on pretty much over all the streaming platforms of just movies I've either been recommended or I've just seen myself that I wanted to watch, and especially on Shudder. And I had never always heard good things about Nicolas Cage's most recent horror movies, and I never sat down and watched them, so I finally did, and I really enjoyed them. A Color Out of Space and Mandy. It's got me excited about Willy's Wonderland, that upcoming one he's got coming up this year about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh yeah, that looks great.
Oh yeah, I just been going through my list. I watched those. I watched Underwater the other day because it's been recommended to me for a while, and I really enjoyed that one as well. And here soon, I plan on rewatching Buffy the Vampire Slayer because everybody in our Discord chat keeps talking about it, and I'm like, man, I haven't got a chance to watch that again in a long time, so I need to do that. I want to revisit that soon. Another movie I watched last year, if I want to be lame. I don't know if you can necessarily say it's horror. A lot of people in the horror community have been putting it on their list because of how good it was, and it has horror elements. And I highly recommend everybody check it out. There's a movie called Spontaneous that I think a lot of people skipped because the poster doesn't look appealing. It isn't like a movie that you would just, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch this. And like, it's not necessarily a horror film. It's basically like a coming of age, kind of a teen romance movie, except for there you get all this in there, but it follows these seniors around in this high school class.
All right, you said a senior class or whatever, yeah. In high school.
Yeah. Okay. So like, it's these people in the senior class, and for some reason, and you never figure out why in the movie, they never say why. People are just exploding. Like, I'm talking, like, they're literally just popping in class, blowing up into this massive pile of blood and guts for no fucking reason. And nobody can figure out why. And it's just like one person, and then like later on another person pops, and then it just keeps doing it throughout the movie. Yeah, and they end up having to get quarantined and everything. And it's just a really good movie, and it has a really good story to it, and it actually like makes you feel things like toward the end and everything.
Okay, All right, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
it's called. I'm always down for suggestions.
Yeah, it's called Spontaneous.
Okay, sounds good. Anything else?
I think that's it so far.
Okay, I've been spending too much time with you guys, so I haven't been able to really watch a lot lately. But Teddy and I have gotten a little bit of time to watch. We have the CBS All Access now, and we've been watching the new Twilight Zone show, which is amazing. Jordan Peele is the host now, rather than Rod. Is it, what's his name? Rod, the original host. Oh my god, I can't think of his name. Rod Sterling. That sounds right to me. But yeah. So Jordan Peele is the host of the show, kind of the one who like introduces the stories each episode, that type of thing. I have a feeling, I'm pretty sure he's an executive producer as well. I can't quote that right now for sure as being correct, but it seems like he is. And it's really good, honestly. I didn't grow up watching the old Twilight Zone, so I don't really have anything to compare it to in that regard. But I do like anthology style shows, or even just like this story of the week type shows. So like, I definitely love it. And I think everybody should check it out. I know it's hard to get the CBS All Access because it's another like add-on to Amazon already, and you have so many to add on as it is.
Yeah.
Streaming platforms. But it's only, I think, $5.99. I think you can get a week for free. It also includes so many awesome like old school shows that we used to watch as kids, like Are You Afraid of the Dark? Yeah. I think like seasons 1 and 2 are on there. 1 through
Are you talking about the original?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yep.
I was watching some of those a couple weeks ago.
I'll have to probably get a trial of that.
Yeah. So that's one thing, and then there's just a bunch of old Nickelodeon stuff on there too. Like just so much. But yeah, it's a great show. Definitely check it out. There's 2 seasons of it so far. I've gotten through half of the first season. And if you love suspense, if you love Jordan Peele, there's a lot of modern actors in it too. Adam Scott is in an episode. Kenneale Nanjiani. So it's really good, and I enjoy it. So that's the thing that I'm excited about lately. But other than that, not too much is going on. So from here then, I'm going to let Jess take it away with her promo corner. I know she's not here, but she's going to help us with that. So take it away, Jess.
Welcome back to another Scream Queens promo corner. Guys, this week we have another podcast to promote. I am so excited. You guys know who they are. We love them. They love us. Big Heckin' Wait Adventures, guys. You've heard from them if you've listened to our Scream Ranking episode, our Nightmare on Elm Street episode. What else? Sometimes you'll hear Wade in the background of our episodes, but we love them. They are the Good Brothers, exclusively over on the Fourth Wall Pop Network. Make it pop. We love the Fourth Wall, guys. I was just on an episode of New Normal Wrestling, which is one of their wrestling shows over there. I am also helping Wade out right now on Big Heck and Wade as a co-host because Heck's got some stuff going on. He's in school and all that, so he's busy. We love them, guys. Check them out. That is Big Heck and Wade Adventures over on the Fourth Wall Pop Network channel. You can check them out on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that. If you want to check them out on Instagram, that is Big Heck Wade Adventures. They also have a Twitter, and their Twitter is Big Heck Wade ADV. Definitely check them out. They post weekly on Saturdays, you know, when Wade gets around to it. Had to throw a little shade in there. Love you. Definitely check them out. They're a pop culture podcast. They cover really anything they want. They cover movies, comic books, TV shows, everything. Definitely check them out. That is Big Heck Wade Adventures. And now back to Cece and Kyle with some repo.
All right, Jess, thank you so much for that awesome promo corner. As always, I love you. You're doing a great job, as always. And thank you so much. So we are back. And we're going to dig right deep into this show now because it might take us some time to talk about it because we're really passionate about this movie, this film that started as a stage show, if you guys didn't know. So Repo the Genetic Opera, guys. Now, it was released in 2008, distributed by Lionsgate. So if you guys are familiar with Lionsgate, I'm sure all of you are. Production company was Twisted Pictures. It is a cult classic. There's no other explanation. Like, it's just one of those things. You either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so. Unfortunately, it wasn't like a huge success when it first came out. It actually, like, lost a ton of money.
Yeah. Yeah. The budget was $8.5 million. Box office,
$188,126. Yikes.
Yeah. I didn't see it till, I think, years after it came out, personally.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I was, like, following while before it came out.
Yeah.
But once I saw it, I was in love immediately. It's just my aesthetic, honestly. And, you know, I love musicals to begin with. And I know Jess does, too. And I know she does love this movie. And it just... Yeah. So that's why we wanted to cover it. We love musicals because that's also part of us. Yeah. That's why I was excited to bring this show or this movie on. So,
yeah. I have like a more like personal connection with this movie. I didn't know this movie existed. It wasn't until some friends and I were at a friend's house for Halloween, for a little Halloween party on Halloween night. And there was this girl I really liked, and I thought that she liked me, but I wasn't sure, but nothing had happened at that point. Well, we were all in the room watching Repo. One of my friends put on Repo, and I was like, okay, well, I've never heard of this, and I immediately was falling in love with it from the very beginning because of the all the comic strips and just every it was pretty much like what you said. It was all my aesthetics and everything. And after they all left the room, and it was just me and her, we ended up kissing for the first time while this movie played on Halloween night.
Aww.
so this movie always has like a special place for me.
Okay. I love that. That's cute.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love that. I think my ex and I saw this together. So like, this was like a movie that, cause we were like those fucking goth kids in high school and shit.
So
we were like, he was like my high, you know, he's my friend now and we're cool. But like, he was like my high school boyfriend and like, we were into this movie together and it's stuck with me ever since. I mean, it's just been one of those things that's a constant in my life.
That's how it is with me. It's like besides my own story with it, it's just like everything about this movie, from the music, just and the visuals of the movie, and just everything is just, it's me. 100%.
Agreed. So let's dissect a little bit. So before we like go to the plot, like, can we talk about the fact that, you know, this has such a cult following? I have personally, and I'm pissed I missed it too, because I used to live closer to Tampa now than I do now, or actually probably about the same distance. But either way, there was a place in Tampa that used to do shadow casts of like Rocky Horror. They did Dr. Horrible Sing Along Blog. There were just a bunch of different shadow casts that would come in out of this place in Tampa back in the day. And they did this once, and Terrence was there for it, and I missed it, and I am so mad at myself. So it was a place that I kind of frequented, and I didn't hear about the event until like after it passed. So I'm always hoping that maybe one day I'll get to see this as a shadow cast again. Because I love shadow casts. Have you ever been to any?
I don't think I have.
Okay. You know what it is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Rocky Horror is like the biggest one that kind of started it all, to be fair.
Yeah.
But a lot of troops are doing, you know, a lot of these cult movies. I actually even got to see a troop do Once More with Feeling, the episode from Buffy. They've even done that. So like, it's just crazy. Like,
that's awesome. The
things they do. Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome. So yeah, I'm kind of mad I missed that, but it, like I said, that just goes to show you how much of a cult classic this really is. It has a very big following. but you just don't hear about it a lot. So,
yeah.
Going into the movie, though, like we said, it is it's very sci-fi. It's goth, rock music.
Very goth.
Yeah. The soundtrack was produced by a Japanese rock star, Yoshiki. And it was a musical in 2002. So Terrence, Zunick, if I'm saying that correctly, I looked up the pronunciation, so... and Darren Smith, they wrote this together, actually. It was originally called, I had it here, the Necro, what was it? Do you have it off the top of your head? Hold on, I got it.
I do not remember.
The Necro Merchant's Debt was the title. It was an idea Smith came up with that they were saying, like, kind of like, maybe in the future, they're not just repossessing your property, but also your body parts.
Yeah.
It was kind of an idea that he had in mind. He thought of the grave robber and the repo organ man, and he kind of just came from there.
Yeah.
And they started it as a stage show. It was, oh my God, sorry, I'm losing my place here. it was, I don't know. Basically, though, it started as a stage show. Then they made it into a 10-minute short film so that they could finance it. So Darren Lynn Bozeman is actually the director of the film. So he adapted into a 10-minute short so they could produce, you know, put it out there and get some money toward it to actually put it out as a full-length film. And it happened. So I'm happy it happened. I know you're happy it happened. but here we are, Repo. Yeah. So now we can get into the story a little bit more if you'd like to start that. So
Just some things before we start the actual story. Was reading up on Darren Smith. He actually the one of the final songs in the movie, the one that Shiloh's dad sings to her as he's dying, that was actually a lullaby that it started out as a lullaby that Darren Smith would sing to his kid.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we talked about beforehand, but like for those who don't know, like at one point during the production, there was production had to halt due to like a budgeting thing where they basically had run out of money and they were needing so much to continue production. And Paris Hilton actually went and did a nightclub appearance like that night for the amount that they needed.
Yes, I did read that. That's so cool of her, honestly.
Like a lot of people, a lot of people really like Paris Hilton's character in this, and and she was really like on board with this movie 100%, and loved that it happened.
Oh yeah, no, I honestly like never really, I don't know, like I never was a huge fan of her, but like from what I'm hearing, she's kind of a decent humanitarian, like realistically when it comes down to it. And the fact that she did that for this movie to still be produced, like, makes me so happy.
That's what
pretty much saved it. Like, you know.
Yeah. It made me respect her so much because you know she's a huge name. It's like she could have easily didn't have to be in this or walked away, and like she wanted to be part of this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I love that for her. There was something else I wanted to mention too. That was kind of like a fun little factoid here. Did you know that he actually, the director Darren Lynn Bozeman originally refused to hold an audition for her because he didn't think she'd be capable of doing the role.
Yep.
Apparently she ended up kicking ass. So
yeah. And, all of Amber Sweet's, clothes are her actual clothes.
Yes. I love that. It's great. But yeah. All right. So there's just a lot going on here. There's a great cast. You guys,
so fun.
If you turn it on, you're gonna know somebody in this movie. I mean, you obviously know Paris Hilton just right off the jump, but like we have
Giles.
Yeah, exactly. So we have Anthony Stewart Head, who was Giles and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and obviously he's been in other stuff. But he see, I didn't grow up watching Buffy, like you know that. But
yeah.
So I didn't really know a lot about him And so this was probably my first big role I saw him in, and I just, he was so great. Like, he, I love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he killed it. This is like, besides Buffy, this is like one of the only other movies I've seen where he had like a leading role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even, like, again, this is, if this is not your thing, it could be, because there's even people from, there's Paul Sorvino, like, he's in a lot of, like, gangster movies, like, Goodfellas and stuff like that. And
yeah. Since we're all horror fans, I mean, the biggest horror icon of them all is in this movie, Bill Moseley.
Yes. I love him. I love him. He's my favorite. but yeah, let's kind of give you guys an idea of what, you know, what you're getting into when you watch this. I'm sure if you've you're listening, you've watched it, because we're going to spoil it for you, but it's okay. So the year is, or by the year of 2056, so there's an epidemic of organ failures devastating the planet. People are basically paying this company, GeneCo, for organ transplants. So they're basically giving their lives away for these organs so they can continue living. They're on payment plans. So the premise basically, though, is if you don't pay on time, or, you know, that type of thing, the repo man is going to come take your organs, basically giving you death, essentially.
Yep. You miss one payment and you're fucked.
Yeah. Like, oh God, that would be terrifying, to be fair. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, I don't have the best working body parts myself right now, but I don't know if I would want to be agreeing to that shit.
Yeah, never.
So the beginning scene, I believe, is the grave robber kind of telling the, or introducing the story. He is doing the, oh God, I can't think of the first song. Is it Things You See in a Graveyard?
Yeah, Things You See in a Graveyard.
Okay. Yeah. So it's grave robber. Well, actually, no. Grave Robber's telling us the story of the Repo Man first. He's a genetic Repo Man. So he's just kind of telling us the story in song version. and then it cuts into Things You See in a Graveyard. Now, what leads up to Things You See in a Graveyard is you are introduced also to Roddy Largo, who is like this big wig. He's the one who owns Gene. He's the CEO of GeneCo. so like the whole world is basically in debt to this company, I feel like.
Yeah.
So he's rich. He's got a bunch of kids. They're shitty kids, apparently. he's sitting in there kind of going over some pictures of them doing stupid stuff, like killing people and I don't even remember what else. Taking faces off people.
Yeah.
In Pavi's case.
Yeah.
Amber being a junkie.
Amber's addicted to the knife.
Yep. And he's just kind of, you know, telling them how disappointed he is. And then all of a sudden, the doctor comes in and tries to tell him he's terminally ill. The genterns, so the, like, kind of the women who are like these, like, I don't even know what you would call them. Like,
yeah, I would hate just even walking in there to tell this guy anything. Because, like, as soon as he walked in, that they cock their shotguns immediately.
I know. And then because he delivers such a grim message, they shoot the doctor right in the head.
Yep.
So he's gone. Yep. It's like, oh my God. So basically the song is Roddy kind of saying that he doesn't know who to leave his legacy to, because his kids are all disappointments. And they are always fighting over who's going to inherit GeneCo and all of that. And then we get kind of cuts more into the graveyard scene itself. You see more of the grave robber just running around. And then it also, it's kind of showing you a little bit of everything very quickly in the beginning to kind of build everything up. So you also get footage of Shiloh, who is played by Alexa Vega. You mostly know her probably, I think it was Sharkboy and Lava Girl, isn't that what she's from?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she plays this 17-year-old.
Yeah, she, isn't she in Spy Kids as well?
Maybe it's that one. Maybe that's the one it is.
Yeah.
Because I always get those two mixed up because I've never seen them. So, But yeah, you'll know her from one of those two movies. She is a 17-year-old who is sick, and she stays inside all the time because she's sick. Her dad doesn't want her leaving. He's a doctor. But she sneaks out. Basically, you're seeing in this beginning scene, she's going to her mother's tomb. It's like a mausoleum. And she likes the outside world because she doesn't see it a lot. So she has this book of like insects, and she finds this bug and she collects it in her jar. So you're just kind of like getting introduced to the kind of person she is. And so while she's sneaking around, she runs into the grave robber, and he's singing while he's taking bodies out and like siphoning the Zydrate out of them.
This is one of three of my favorite songs of the movie.
Things You See in a Graveyard? Or 21st Century Cure, I'm sorry.
It's 21st Century Cure, yeah.
Yeah, because the songs go by very quick, because this is technically a rock opera.
Yeah.
So if you guys are familiar with a rock opera, there's generally not a lot of just straight up dialogue without there being music in the background. So it kind of goes from one to the other.
Yeah, Grave Robber is easily like my favorite character in this whole movie.
Yeah.
And I know me and you're both fans of the band. I don't know if you ever picked up on it. Does he not resemble a Danny Filth a little bit?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I think that's one of the reasons why I really liked it, because like when I first saw this movie, I was like huge into Cradle of Filth. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, this guy looks like Danny Filth.
Yeah, he kind of does. And it's so funny because he's just like this, I don't know, everybody was obsessed with him back in the day, the Grave Robber, Terrence.
Yeah.
It's actually Terrence Zinnick, which is one of the writers. And
And we were completely wrong on Shiloh. She wasn't in any of those movies.
What?
We said.
What is she from then? It's one of those style types of movies like from back in the day, I swear.
Hold on.
I it's gonna kill me. You can look it up and I'll keep going.
Yeah, she was. I read the wrong thing, my bad. Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, she plays Carmen in Spy Kids.
Okay, you were right. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was one of those kinds of movies. I was like, what? So we've got he's siphoning Zydrate from these bodies. Because he sells it on the black market or on the streets, whatever. It's like essentially people use it as a drug. And then Shiloh is trying to run away because the enforcers hear that there's people in the graveyard. So they're coming after her and the grave robber. He pushes like this, I guess, I don't know, like a tomb. He hits like this wall of a tomb open.
He hits it with a body at that.
Yeah, right. He's just taking this person's body, like slamming it in like a freaking, like as if you would see like a, like the cops hit like a battering ring or whatever, like hitting that thing. And it busts open and they fall into this like pit of just bodies everywhere. And like to her, she's just like disgusted. He's happy because he's got more people to suck the Zydrate out of. He basically tries to tell her to like keep going so she doesn't get caught. She ends up, I think, end up jumping back out of the hole and they grab her. I'm trying to remember exactly.
The guards grab her.
Mm-hmm. So the guards grab her and she's starting to get sick and her blood pressure is good. She's getting her blood pressure warning going off. And the repo man walks up and he's kind of pushing the guards off of her. And then it kind of cuts to, I believe, backstory with the comics, I want to say.
Yeah.
So the stories, that's what's really cool about this is it's a live action movie, but there is a lot of backstory that's told within the comics that they show on the screen. And the art is really cool in the comics. I enjoy it. It plays like some like music.
I wonder if there's a real comic out of this.
I don't know.
I need to find that.
I feel like there might be, but I don't know if I've ever looked. It would be cool, and I would definitely own it if I know it existed.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to look for that.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, there's just a backstory kind of I want to say it's the backstory regarding Nathan and his wife.
Yeah, his wife, his wife had died while she was pregnant with Shiloh, or she was dying, but he could only save one, so he ended up saving Shiloh. Because his wife had a blood disease.
Yep. So, because of that, I'm trying to remember exactly how it goes. So, because of that, he had to... He essentially thought he was... He made a cure for... Because isn't Shiloh sick because the mom died? Essentially?
Yeah.
So, like, he thought he made this cure or, like, something he was giving her medicine. But secretly... Do we hear all this soon? About what Roddy does? I'm trying to remember if it's this soon.
No, it's not revealed till later on.
Okay. So that's... Yeah. So we're just going over basically the death of the mother part at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. So from there,
yeah, and you can see that Shiloh's real connected, or she's like, you know, trying to know who her mom was, because at one point she sneaks out and she has a gas mask and she's eating a sandwich by her mom's tomb.
Yeah. And yeah, she's not only wants to know about her mom, she also just wants to know about the world around her. Because again, she's locked inside all the time.
Because she's just been locked inside the whole time. Mm-hmm.
And so then it cuts to Shiloh waking up, and her dad is there, Nathan. And he's kind of telling her, I don't think she doesn't remember that she was out and about, or she's at least trying to pass it off.
No, he remembers everything, but he's trying to pass it off as that none of that happened, that she didn't see anything.
Right. Yep, he's trying to play it cool and say, oh, you were just sick and whatever. He just woke up from a nap or something, like. And they're just having a conversation. She's being edgy as hell, like always. he leaves, I think, to go out for work, and she goes into song about how she's infected with this sickness.
I like this song too. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. It honestly,
yeah, it starts off with that kind of have to be infected, and then it hits that rock sound.
Yeah, it's good. It's I'm telling you guys, this is a gem. If you've never watched this, it's like a hidden gem. But it is kind of like...
Yeah. If you enjoy Sweeney Todd, you'll like this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So she sings about that, her sickness, how she's frustrated with it, how she, you know, doesn't want to be cooped up all her life, sucks. You know, she's like, you know, a teenager plus dealing with all this. So she's just like pissed off the world. You know how it is to be a teenager. Just bitch about everything. Yeah. So that's like, that's her little thing there. Now it cuts back to Nathan, and he's kind of in the hallways of his house. It cuts into the song Legal Assassin, which is actually one of my favorite songs. This explains his job and what he does and how he is trying.
He's the repo man.
Yeah, he is. And he's trying to raise his daughter right, but it's hard because he's living this double life.
Yeah, because she thinks he's just a doctor.
Yep. And he's just longing for his wife to be back so she could help him with the answers and just raising Shiloh. And he's just kind of going through his life struggle.
One of the things I love about this and in the whole movie, I love these paintings.
Oh, yeah.
I want paintings in real life.
Yep. It's like a ghost chorus inside of a painting. Yes. And
they're so cool.
Yes, it's great. So you've got that. It's hard to explain this talking. You guys really have to watch it because it's all music, and it's just, we could explain to you what's going on in the scene, but it's definitely not going to affect it or be effective as if you're watching it, because you're hearing their emotions through song, seeing them, what they're going through. So,
yeah, there's hardly any spoken dialogue in here that's not singing.
Exactly. That's what I was saying earlier. It's a rock opera, technically. So,
There's counting just even the musical scores with no lyrics. There's 48 songs in this movie.
Yeah. So it's a lot, but it goes quick. Honestly, it's only an hour and 37 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a standard movie. But yeah, it's just hard to explain the emotions you see on screen to you guys without you guys seeing it. But we're trying our best to kind of go through it. So then we move on to lungs and livers. I'm trying to remember exactly what that is. It's a song. It's the next song. But it could be one of those score songs where there's no lyrics.
Yeah. I think the next part is Roddy's introducing the kids, and it's where they're going back and forth, and we see Bill Moseley's character kill that one girl and everything while in the middle of their song.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is like, yeah, the next song is like one of my favorite songs. So,
yeah, because all the kids are bickering back and forth over who's going to inherit Jingo.
Yep. So this is the infamous freaking song between Amber, Luigi, and Pavi. And so they're in the, like, I don't know what kind of room it's in, but the gen turns are like doing their work, sort of moving the body parts around. And Amber's like, "Where the fuck is Dad, brothers?" And she's like, singing to them, "You left me in charge, sister." I mean, I could do this whole thing, but I'm not gonna do that. So yes, this is where you see Bill Moseley shine right here. Okay, now what's funny, and you and I both know this from listening to, I forgot what podcast it was you told me to listen to, but he was like nervous about auditioning for this role because he saw like one of the girls from the Pussycat Dolls was also auditioning, and he's like, "Oh God, there's no way, like." Like, how am I going to get a role in, like, a, you know, that type of thing?
Yeah.
Because he's not, like, normally a singer. He's more just an actor. So, to be able to, like, implement the music to it is what he was nervous about. But I love it. He's just so funny. But, yeah, Amber ends up leaving because she's annoyed by her brothers. And so, basically, you get more of a Luigi Pavi type of dynamic going on with this song. They're kind of one-upping each other a little bit. The song's called Mark It Up. It's probably, I mean, it's my favorite silly song of the show. I mean, there's other songs I like that are more emotional, but this song is definitely up there. This song is one of the ones I find myself singing very often because it's just so fun. And so we get them. Yeah, in the middle of the song, he decides to stab this chick and kill her because he's just fucking crazy.
He's looking great.
And he rips his shirt open all the time, I've noticed. Yep. He's got scars everywhere.
It's not the only time he'll kill somebody randomly.
Yeah, I know. Yep. So yeah, there's that scene, which is, like I said, it's a really fun scene. Then we move on to... So Shiloh... It shows her back at home, and she gets a little, because it's in the future. So she gets this like little phone call thing, but it's almost like a watch, where you can see like a person's face, like a
It's so hologram fucking cool.
Kind of. She gets a call from Roddy Largo. He's like, "You don't know me, but I know your mother," and he's trying to get her to come meet him. Right, so he invites her to the opera.
Yeah, he wants to...
Oh, no, to the fair, excuse me. He invites him to the fair.
Yeah, he wants to get her, because he tells her that he has the antidote for her condition, but in reality, he wants Shiloh to take over Jingo, because he doesn't believe his kids, any of his kids deserve it.
Yeah, which is fair. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah. So, we also have... At the fair, it's quite interesting how this scene is, because you've got friggin' Pavi getting head from like two chicks at the same time. Got freaking Amber harassing Blind Mag because she's basically like, Blind Mag, I guess, can't sing for that particular event. So she's like, "Why don't you let me sing? Why does it always have to be her?" So she's like pissy about that. And you got Luigi. He's so handsome, he hands him coffee. What's this? Rat piss?
And then he kills him.
He just fucking stabs this guy. Like, okay. So it's just a
family. And Blonde Mag's another great character. She's beautiful. And she has an awesome look. Those eyes are so cool.
She is absolutely gorgeous. And she's actually Sarah Brightman. She's an actual trained opera singer. So she's more, this is her first film role, actually, because she's actually a trained opera singer. So they brought her in for this. She's a great addition to this show, I think. She's absolutely beautiful. Her eyes are what has belongs to Jinko. So her eyes are what, you know, they help her see now, and she's dealing with that. She has to work for them indefinitely because of the cost of the eyes.
Yeah, her contract, she didn't read the line in her contract.
Yep. So she's resigning soon as the spokeswoman, like you just said. Let me see. So Shiloh's just dealing with this wild-ass family and their escapades. She ends up seeing Grave Robber again, and he helps her escape, right?
Yeah, but, because her dad, her monitor goes off, saying that she hadn't taken her medicine, and while her dad's out, you know, working,
he calls her, right?
He calls her because he gets an alert too, and so then she's trying to make it home before he gets home. And then we see the Grave Robber show up, and he wants to help her escape, and they run into some Zadri addicts, and we get the best fucking song out of this whole movie, and the one that everybody knows, Zadri Anatomy.
Yes. That's the only song I feel like everyone knows.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows. Even people, I think even people who've never seen this movie know this
exactly.
song.
Exactly. There is one song we missed a few parts, but it's okay. Because the fair, there's a lot going on at the fair too. So the fair, there, Jinko, all the Amber, Pavi, Luigi, Roddy, and Mag are all like putting on this, like, you know, show, telling everybody what's going on. But meanwhile, Nathan's at home doing his repo shit, pulling out some dude's spine, you know, and then he plays puppet with another guy.
I love
Thankless Job. It's such a great song. Got to do it. Oh my god, so good.
Yeah, got to do it.
You see a little bit about what he does, and like I said, and then so the back at the fair, it's just the Roddy family, or the Largo family, just doing their thing. But
whole highlight of this whole thing is Zydrate.
Yeah, exactly. Like that part's kind of like here nor there, but Zydrate Anatomy comes in and just everyone. It's
the greatest song ever.
Yes. So you've got Grave Robber.
Zydrate goes.
I know, I made a post song today, and I was like, everybody was freaking singing it.
I love it. Yeah. And then in this part, you also find out that Amber, played by Paris Hilton, she's addicted to surgery. Mm-hmm. And part of the thing is that people who go and have these surgery, they take Zydrate to kind of help them through the surgery, so it's not as agonizing and painful. Yep. And she's obviously become addicted to Zydrate, and Amber shows up and wants Zydrate from the Grave Robber, and we get this awesome fucking scene.
Yeah, like, not just her.
Amber's sweet, is addicted to the knife.
Addicted to the knife. So not just her, but all these other Zydrate addicts are coming out of the woodwork. You're like in an alley almost, and harassing the Grave Robber because he's got tons of it.
Yeah. And it goes into the gun like a battery.
Yeah, I'm sure you all know this fucking song. Like, everybody knows
it. It's so good.
It's very like repetitive, but it's so good.
It is, but it's so good.
Easy to sing in a group like of people.
Yep.
You got that. Let's see. That's just a very iconic scene. So. So we've got, God, I keep getting so behind. Hold on. My reference isn't very efficient.
I think during this part, before she gets home, Shiloh discovers that Jinko plans to take back Blind Mag's eyes. Yes. Because she's behind on her payments. Because
Amber explains about it. And that she's going to replace her. And she has this whole thing. She gets back to her room before Nathan notices her missing. Meanwhile, Roddy hires Nathan to repossess Mag's eyes, but Nathan won't do it because, as we find out in some of the backstory, Blind Mag was best friends with his his deceased wife, Marnie. And he has that close connection with Blind Mag, and he doesn't want to upset, his late wife.
And she's the godmom of Shiloh.
Yep. So he tries to quit his job as the repo man, and it cuts into his song Night Surgeon, which is another great song. All his songs are great, to be fair. This one is just very, like, I don't want to say the word edgy, but it's very, like, passionate and, like, he's just very, like, over it at this point.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm done with this shit, you know? Like, I didn't want to do this job. Stuck with it. As you hear in Thankless Job earlier. So basically, Roddy gets pissed off that he's trying to quit, and he wants to have him taken out. So, that's going on. Meanwhile, Mag decides to visit Shiloh at her house. She talks with her, and then we cut into Chase the Morning, which is another beautiful song. Basically, she tells her the story that, you know, she is her godmother, and that, you know, she was best friends with her mother, and she's, you know, trying to tell her to not make the same mistakes she did in regards to, I believe, Jinko's, who she's kind of referencing. Nathan does get home and kind of sees that those two are talking, and he scolds Shiloh, and even I think Mag, he tells her to leave. So there's that whole scene. Basically, it's just like he's keeping her shelter from everything, and she's just had it, you know.
And then you get that
is it cut into 17 right there?
What's the word for it? Like, I mean, this is as edgy as it gets.
This is the most cringy song of the whole movie.
Cringy teenage angst, yes, right here.
This is the literally most cringy song of the whole film. I'll tell you that right now. Even though it is super cringy, I actually still love it. It literally jumping on the bed, throwing her fist around. I'm 17. Why are you treating me like I'm
a kid? All of a sudden, there's like a lot of people in a room, and it's like a rock.
It looks like Joan Jett.
that's what I remember.
I know. I wonder if that is her. Like, I'm always curious about that.
but that song reminded me of like a jump of Joan Jett or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Like an old school, like Bad Reputation style.
Yeah, it might remember Bad Reputation. Yep. Yeah.
So we get that whole freaking shit fest. I still love it though. It's okay. And then
it's like, that's probably the only like dailed part of the movie, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So meanwhile, back at Jinko, Roddy is writing his will. He's about ready to make Shiloh his sole heir for the company. He invites her back out to the opera that night.
And we get my other favorite song
at the opera tonight.
See at the opera, yeah, at the opera.
Oh, that's a good one. You got almost the whole cast singing that one,
yeah,
for sure. And you got you go back to Nathan. He's trying to, you know, deal with not being pursued by the Gene cops who are trying to arrest him. He ends up getting away, and he heads to the opera to look for Shiloh because he knows she's missing. Now, Amber decides to go on stage for her debut, right? And we know, we've talked about her, and she's obsessed with surgeries and always, like, modifying her body, that she goes on stage, right, and her face falls off in the middle of her performance, mm-hmm. which, oh my god. Part cracks me up. I don't know why. It's just so freaky looking. And so you've got her, Blame Not My Cheeks. I think that's the song that she sings. Before we did that though, you did have like kind of a introductory song as well with Luigi, Pavi, and Roddy as well. We started this opera shit. That was kind of like the welcome to the show. and then she does her. She takes like 5 seconds, basically. Here, as soon as her freaking face falls off, she gets off stage. And then let's see. I'm trying to remember. Sorry, y'all. This movie is like a lot of the same scenes, so it gets kind of confusing. It's because it didn't. I mean, it had kind of a big. Well, I don't want to say. Is that a big budget for this? I don't know. It's like I feel like it's one of those low budget movies, even though it was $8.5 million. It's just I feel like they use a lot of the same sets, so it's just that's why it's kind of having me go back and forth. If you want to jump in, if you know where we're at, go by any means, go ahead. All right, so Mag is supposed to have her final performance that night because she's resigning.
Yeah.
So she does her Chromagia. I don't know how you say that. That's like her main song. And like we said, she's a trained.
It's really good.
Yeah, too. Like we said, she in real life, Sarah Bright was a trained opera singer. So song is very beautiful. In this act, she starts to denounce the Largo family. And in the middle of it, she's wearing these, like, I don't even know what they are. These rings with, like, a, what would it be? Like a, I don't even know what it's called. Like a metal piece coming out of the ring. And she decides to gouge out her eyes because she's like, I'd rather be blind than owe you guys anything. Because she does that, Roddy gets pissed off and cuts the cords that she was suspended up onto, and she falls onto a fence post and gets impaled, and she is just dead right in the middle of the show. He's like, oh no, keep watching. This is part of the show.
It's part of the show.
Okay, sure. Meanwhile, so Nathan's still dressed as the repo man at this point because he's going to find Shiloh, and Shiloh sees the repo man and she attacks him with a shovel because she's kind of hiding backstage in like this little tent area. She hits him with a shovel before realizing he's her father.
Yeah, his mask falls off.
And so then she obviously is shocked and upset. She yells at him for lying to her about his profession. So we get a little bit more of what's going on soon. So like if you guys don't like didn't know basically what happened, because we kind of missed it earlier, there was a comic strip part where it tells how in order to keep Shiloh alive, her father had to give her like medicine, which we've talked about. But the thing is that Roddy had went into his office when, I guess, like, around when she was born or when she was young. And he changed it out with, like, poison. So, essentially, she's been he's been poisoning his daughter without knowing for years. And that's why she's causing
she don't have a blood disease. She just has been poisoned all of her life.
And so, that's why she's, like, constantly having issues and, and that type of thing. Excuse me. So we get Let the Monster Rise, which is the song it cuts into after he discusses to her about his profession. And then we cut back to on stage. So on stage, it's kind of like, I don't know how they appear on stage. Are they like arguing and they happen to run out on stage? I can't remember because like, Shiloh. So Roddy decides to reveal that Shiloh doesn't have a blood disease, like we just told you. That Nathan has been poisoning her, quote, medicine in an attempt to keep her safe from the outside world. It's because he can't cope with the loss of his late wife. And as the disease begins to take its toll, Roddy promises Shiloh Jean-Co if she kills her father. So this whole time, because another thing we didn't mention, the backstory is that Roddy Largo was in love with Marnie, who decided to marry Nathan instead. So he decided to essentially make Nathan's life a living hell for the rest of his life. By making him the repo man, so he's indebted to him forever. And then also just because he switched, his daughter's medicine to poison. So now he wants her to kill him. she refuses to do it, obviously, because it's still her father. And Roddy, you know, Roddy's showing signs of not doing so well, because as we heard learn in the beginning, he's dying from a terminal illness. He uses the last of his strength to shoot Nathan, and he ended up dying. So it's just like a lot of, it's really depressing, this final act. Like, everybody's just dying on stage.
It's weird though, because in the, we talked about before, that in the original stage play, Nathan doesn't get...
Do you know, like, what happens exactly, or do you just know he didn't die?
I just know he didn't die.
I mean, that would have been a nicer ending, to be fair. So he disowns his children. He passes away on stage. That's Roddy Largo. And then we cut into I Didn't Know I'd Love You So Much, which is such a beautiful song. So we have Shiloh singing to her father as he's, you know, slowly dying. Yep.
And like I said before, the beginning, that was originally a song that Darren Smith, the guy who helped do the score for this movie, sung to one of his kids.
Yeah, yeah. I love this song. I just think it's so so pretty. So Shiloh obviously cries her last tears, holds her father until his last breath. Then she decides to get up and, you know, decides that she can't let him, you know, and his actions dictate her future. She's going to move forward with her life. She decides to leave and not take the Gene Co. offer that she was given. So I guess she just kind of does her own thing. And Amber, Sweet, ends up inheriting the company. She's the face of the company at the end. And she auctions her fallen face. This is so funny. Yeah. She freaking auctions off her face that fell off to charity, and Pavi is the one who won it.
Pavi wins it.
Because he's a freak who likes to wear people's faces, and I love it. But yeah, I mean, that's just in a nutshell. I know we've missed small details here and there, and maybe even some big details, but that's where you have it, really. It's just, again, as musicals are very hard to explain, because there's just a lot explained in the story, in the music itself. So I definitely recommend checking out the soundtrack. Definitely watching the movie, of course.
It's free on Prime.
Is it? Apparently. I watched it on Tubi, because I didn't think it was on Prime. Yep, okay, perfect. Prime. So there you go, Tubi and Prime. It's on both. Soundtrack, I know, is definitely on Spotify, probably Apple. YouTube, wherever you want to listen. It's definitely one of those soundtracks that you could like rock out to at any point. Like, the rock music is just so good, and then some of the opera music is really beautiful as well. I know I'm constantly, it's definitely on my Spotify. I know I'm one of those people who has a lot of musicals on mine. But yeah, that's Repo, guys. And is there any more like thoughts you wanted to go over, or personal information about it, like, or anything like that?
Well, I think that's pretty much everything. Like, all the tad bit of trivia I had, I kind of put in throughout.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of information, just because, again, it's another, it's an overlooked film, and it's not for everybody. Like I said earlier, I feel like people either love it or hate it. It is very, and I will admit it, it's very campy. But the way this film is almost, in a way, it's dark. And to me, it's that same reason that I love Terrifier. It's got that, like, what's the word? It's got that look to it. I don't know how to explain what I mean, but it's almost like those, like, filters. I forgot the name of it, but it's like, God, what's the word? It's like a C word of a filter, like for pictures. But I feel like these movies are made in that type of filter. A lot of contrast, that's what I'm thinking of. A lot of contrast to them. So, definitely, you know, one of my favorites, and especially in regards to movie musicals, definitely. Probably my top three. for sure. That would be probably Rocky Horror, Sweeney Todd, and Repo are probably my top three movie musicals.
Yeah, those are my top three as well. I'm pretty sure Repo's my number one.
That's awesome. But yeah, guys, I know this is kind of a short episode, but we just wanted to cover it. I'm really passionate about this movie, and I know Jess would have loved to talk about it as well, but it's okay. She's got stuff going on, and that's okay. So I was glad that we were able to bring Kyle in, because Kyle knows a lot about this movie and respects this movie as much as I do. So thank you for being here.
I don't know if we talked about it on the air, but it was originally supposed to be a trilogy. The next movie was going to be Repo: The Beginning, which was going to be a prequel. But unfortunately, they lost the rights to the franchise, so they ended up making the sequel successor, The Devil's Carnival.
Yeah, which I've seen that one. I feel like it didn't really connect with this film, like in the sense of story.
Yeah.
But it did have that same vibe to it. It was decent. Bill Moseley's back, I know for sure. Obviously, different character and stuff, but it's still fun to check out.
A guy who played Grave Robbers as well.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure he wrote that one as well. So it's definitely fun. So if you like Repo, definitely check out Devil's Carnival. It's not as I wouldn't say it's as good as Repo is, but it is still something fun to kind of check out if you're into that. But yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Again, you're not going to get as much from us as you will if you watch the movie. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, we kind of talked about him as we went through the movie, but what would be like your top three songs from this film?
Top three are going to have to be Zydrate Anatomy, of course, number one. Best fucking song of the whole movie. At the Opera Tonight and 21st Century Cure.
Okay.
I'm just Greg a huge Robert, fan.
Yeah, I see
Robert.
That. mine would have to be Mark It Up is definitely on there. Now I don't remember if I should pick between, I think, Legal Assassin and let me see. God, I didn't think of a third one, but I know those two stick out for me for sure. I would say Zydrate Anatomy, but I feel like it's so cliche. Not saying anything against you, but I really do enjoy it. So I guess I'll put that one as my other one. I don't know. I love this movie. I love a lot of the songs. But for sure, Mark It Up is the one I'm always singing because it's so fun and hilarious. All right. Well, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at my personal Twitter is Kyle S. Prescott, or our podcast Twitter is the Trick or Treaters Podcast, and you find us at Trick or Treat Pod, and we're also on Instagram as Trick or Treat Pod, and we have a Facebook page called the Trick or Treaters Podcast as well.
And we're both of our shows are part of the Slash and Cast Podcast Network, along with a bunch of other awesome shows.
And speaking of them, our friends, I mentioned this earlier, our friends Dead in Santa Carla, they recently started doing video format of their podcast on YouTube that they just dropped their first episode on Monday. Because I think this episode will drop later
Wednesday,
on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 They dropped their first episode in video format on Monday about their first episode on Blade. And you can check them out at Dead in Santa Carla.
Yes, that's exciting. I think that's one of the first shows of ours that's doing that, which is really cool.
Yes.
And you just did they just did a show with you too. Are you talking about that yet?
Yes, we have a show. We have an episode dropping on Friday on anywhere you get your podcast with both Brian and Andy from Dead in Santa Carla. We talked about 1985's
Oh,
Friday.
Man, that movie's so hilarious and so good.
Oh, we had an absolute blast recording it last night.
I'm sure you guys are all fun people, so I'm sure it was very interesting. but yes, thank you for being here, and you can find us, the Scream Queens, at ScreamQueens85 on Twitter, as always, Instagram, the Scream Queens Podcast, and Facebook, we have a like page as well. We have a new logo now, guys. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It was done by our friend Brian from Dead in Santa Carla. And I want to thank him personally, and I know Jess thanks you as well for doing that awesome logo for us. That was part of our big news coming in the new year. So check that out. We do have some more news coming. I'm going to keep that for when Jess is here with me to reveal. But yeah, thank you guys again. Thank you, Kyle. And I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We will see you back soon. Stay spooky, and we love you. Bye.
Zytrate comes in a little glass vial.
A little glass vial?
And the little glass vial goes into the gun like a battery. And the Zytrate gun goes somewhere against your anatomy. And when the gun goes off, it sparks and you're ready for surgery.